and welcome to the S Words Podcast, a roundtable discussion about pop culture topics beginning with the letter S. This isn't really that much of a pop culture, more of a culture podcast this week because we're doing Shakespeare. I'm Dominic Nguyen.
I'm Shakespeare.
No.
Hi, Bill.
Hello.
I'm Mike Lee.
Mike.
I'm Karen Sun.
I am Sung Lee.
And I'm Kevin Chu. We have six people around this table.
Yes, the ghost of Shakespeare has joined us in the form of that beer in Kevin's hand.
Whoa! I bite my thumb at you.
Romeo and Juliet. That actually used to be an insult.
Actually, there are ghosts in Shakespeare, huh?
There are tons of ghosts! Yes! There's Hamlet's ghost. Hamlet's father's ghost.
The Montagues.
No, the Montagues Oedipus. Are not ghosts. Oh, I hate you, Kevin. Come on. This is my show. Come on. Give me a little bit of slack here.
I think that's why he's doing it.
I know.
I'm the villain this week.
You are the villain this week. You're a jerk store.
Thank you.
You're taking over. So let's start off with the usual question. What was the first exposure you had to Shakespeare that you knew it was Shakespeare?
The Lion King. It is. It's based on Hamlet.
It's Hamlet. Yeah.
Yeah. And I knew it as a kid. And then later on, it was Romeo and Juliet when they made us read it in school.
I remember my mom really liked the old 1970s Romeo and Juliet movie. I think it was 70s or 60s. I remember.
There's one in the 80s, too.
There was one in the 90s, too. There were several in the 90s.
Wasn't there just one?
The Baz Luhrmann one?
What's the other one? Die.
There was Romeo Must Die. Huh?
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Is Jason Statham in that one?
No, he's not.
He might be.
He was a stunt guy, you know.
No. They've never been in a movie together.
Really? I always think they are in movies together.
I like how we fit Jason Statham into the Shakespeare podcast.
Ye old Jason
Although,
Statham.
You know what the weirdest thing is? I saw this one adaptation, the stage adaptation of The Taming of the Shrew. It was really good. And the guy who was playing the main character in The Taming of the Shrew, I can't remember his name right now.
Jason Statham?
No, it was the Beastmaster. from those really terrible movies.
Yeah. Whoa, from Beastmaster?
From Beastmaster.
Damn.
Wow.
You can see really random people in Shakespeare.
Are you sure it was really Beastmaster, or was it just a guy you thought was Beastmaster?
It was actually the Beastmaster.
How do you know? Because there were two ferrets.
No, it was... It was because I saw the credits. It was a stage adaptation. It was recorded and then put on video.
Oh, okay.
That guy's actually been in a lot of movies. I can't remember his name, but he has in a lot of movies in the 80s.
That were not that bad. Some of them.
I was just thinking that maybe at the end, they're like, and from Beastmaster!
All right.
Playing the Shrew.
Karen?
Probably Romeo and Juliet.
Which version?
The classic version, you know, where they get all naked and then we watched it in class. And so everyone was...
The 80s nudity one, right?
70s version, whatever.
Oh, 70s? Okay. I saw that in class, too. They had nakedness.
Yep.
We got to see the nakedness. They didn't just fast forward through it.
Yeah.
Yep.
We just read the story in school. I didn't get to see any of these movie adaptations.
Well, we read it, too, and that's why we saw it.
Whoa. You guys read it?
No. I didn't read that thing like two times.
The first time I ever was exposed to that story, though, was West Side Story. I didn't know it was Shakespeare at the time, but my mom was telling me it was based on another story. I just didn't know it was Shakespeare.
Yeah, that's also my first exposure to Shakespeare, and you stole it, sir.
Woohoo! Yes!
Because my family was huge on musicals when I was growing up, I mean. And so I saw West Side Story and Kiss Me, Kate as my first exposures to Shakespeare. And then in high school, I started reading Shakespeare, and I actually liked it, unlike most of the other people who read Shakespeare in high school. And so I kept with it.
I like Shakespeare.
I like Shakespeare, too.
Yeah, but a lot of people... think about your English class in high school. How many of those people forced to read Shakespeare actually liked it?
All of them.
Really?
I was in the accelerated English.
Okay.
Yeah, I was in AP, too. So.
Yeah, we're all Asian here. We were probably all in AP classes everywhere.
Oh, we are all Asian! By the way, Mark Singer is the Beastmaster.
You looked it up?
And he is the Shakespeare Taming the Shrew Beastmaster that you know of.
Mark Singer?
Mark Singer. Spelled with a C.
M-A-R-C.
C-I-N-G.
Wow, IMDb says you're right. Holy crap. How did you look that up on your phone? Or did you just know that?
It's called Wikipedia.
So you did look that up
on your phone. W-I-C-I-P-E-C-C-C.
So you actually...
It's not the C Words podcast.
So anyway...
He's the Beastmaster.
So yeah, what are your favorites among the Shakespeare stuff?
Beastmaster.
Stop.
The Lion King, West Side Story.
Yeah, I'm going to accept
actually,
those.
No. I like Titus.
Titus Andronicus?
It's very violent.
It is really violent. Which like version... Who did the movie version a few years ago?
The Anthony Hopkins one, which
That's
has
right.
nudity and violence.
Yes.
And let's see what else there is.
Titus Andronicus is very, very violent. Sounds?
The one I remember most is either Romeo and Juliet or Hamlet. And so, I don't know, I think I like Hamlet better.
Midsummer's Night Dream, because I did a production of that, sort of.
You were a theater girl?
No, it was...
No?
It was, I was in an accelerated education program in, like, elementary school and middle school. And so we did, it was kind of an extracurricular. We did, like, 30-minute Shakespeare thing. Because where I lived, there was, a Shakespeare festival where all these various schools would come together and do, like...
Were you a fairy?
No, I was Hermia.
Oh, okay. You actually had speaking parts. Just checking. Because if you're, like, 6 years old or so, they usually dress you up as a fairy and have you prance around. And the parents are proud and you don't have to mess anything up. Not that I have any experience with that.
Anyway, but we did that. I think that was middle school anyway. But and then my other favorites, let's see. I like Julius Caesar a lot because of the Mark Antony speech.
Oh, yes. And his wonderful song, I Need to Know?
No.
Sorry, that was a terrible joke, and you need to hit me for that one.
He's the Beastmaster.
Kind of that's Mark Singer.
What are we on? Favorite?
Favorite work. And I'm counting, you know, other people's adaptations of it, because those are what you'll see.
Yeah, I probably have to say the Hamlet adaptation of The Lion King. That's a really good... I never actually read Hamlet itself. Yeah.
You don't necessarily need to read Hamlet. It's a really long read. You'd rather see it.
With lions.
No, not with lions. That changes the ending. Come on.
Which one has Iago in it?
That's Othello. Othello.
That's what?
Othello. And there's a very...
Oh, yes. And that's Shakespeare, right?
That is Shakespeare. Okay, yes. Kenneth Branagh actually did a very good movie version of it that had Lawrence Fishburne as Othello.
Oh, yes.
I read about that.
No, I also want to say Julius Caesar. I totally forgot that he did that. And that's actually one of my favorite ones. But I also wanted to mention...
Oedipus Rex?
No, not Oedipus Rex. or The Odyssey. But...
Yeah, I kept on wanting to say, like, Cyrano de Bergerac, but I'm like, wait, that's not Shakespeare, is it?
You
might as well be.
Isn't Roxanne based on Shakespeare?
You, you're on the list. You're on the list, all right?
Wait, I have one more. Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. Kenneth Branagh's in it.
I'm trying to... You can't see it right now, but I'm trying to set Kevin on fire with my mind.
Oh, my mind is fried.
The men who stare at goats.
The men who stare at Kevin.
That is a good play.
By Shakespeare.
Yes.
I hate you guys.
What about Glengarry Glen Ross?
You just need to stop talking right now.
Of Mice and Men?
Right now. Just stop talking. So anyway, my favorite tragedy... is King Lear, with Hamlet in a close second, but Hamlet's too long. My favorite comedy is Much Ado About Nothing. And
I like Much Ado About Nothing, too.
Much Ado About Nothing also had a pretty good Kenneth Branagh screen adaptation.
With Keanu Reeves.
With a surprisingly competent Keanu Reeves. As Don Julio, I believe he was. The villain in Much Ado About Nothing. And my favorite history is King Henry V, because that's the one with the most shouting and fighting.
That's the speech, right?
That is the St. Crispin's Day speech, yeah. Yes.
Wait, okay, well, let me get this straight. Which is the one with where it's the king and he has the sons?
King Lear.
No, okay. The sons?
Yeah, the sons. And the sons are asses.
Sons are asses. Well, King Lear has the duke and two of the duke's children. There's Edmund and Edward.
Is King Lear the one where he takes out his eyes?
Yes, they take out one of the duke's eyes. They just kick him out. But anyway, yeah, that's a pretty violent scene.
Yeah, Act 3, Scene 3.
They just rip out his eyes.
Ah!
Out foul jelly. You have to be more specific.
Well, okay, I remember reading The Good Earth and saying, this is exactly like a Shakespeare play.
Wait, the Pearl S. Buck?
Yeah.
I can't help you on this one.
Kevin looked like you were about to throw that drink in his face.
No, like, I was just like, I was like, oh, Pearl S. Buck. I don't remember this novel at all.
There were concubines and foot binding.
Oh, yeah, I remember that now.
Well, no, I just remember it was like, there was this whole thing about like, there's a, yeah, I mean, of course the story is always different because it had kings and stuff like that, but it was like, he had, the kingdom had fallen to hard times, and then the sons inherited all the land, and they
oh, this does
got
sound
a lot
familiar.
Of money from the land, and
it's not Shakespeare, though, I think, right?
I don't know.
The whole thing about King Lear is that there's a king who doesn't want to favor one daughter over the other, so he wants to split his kingdom among his three daughters. And one of them says, no, that's stupid, and he kicks her out, even though she's the one who's smart. And then so the other two daughters are left fighting each other, and he goes crazy because he's done a very stupid thing, and, you know.
Maybe that was it.
Dulcinea?
What's the one where they try to find Helen of Troy?
Troy.
Actually, oh, Troy.
There is
Brad
one that
Pitt.
That takes place in Troy, so you're not screwed up in this
I know.
And Troilus and Cressida.
And Bruce
God,
Banner.
You knew it. Oh, Merchant of Venice with Al Pacino.
Was he actually in that one?
Well, he was in a version of Merchant of Venice, but that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. But I remember that Shakespeare.
Thanks, Kevin.
And Twelfth Night.
Twelfth Night is also a Shakespeare, that's true. That's very good of you. I'm going to pat you on the head now.
Yeah, you can't reach here.
Yeah, you better be thankful for that, jerk.
What's the one with the catcher?
In the rye?
That's the one.
Is that the 22 one?
Oh, yeah. That one I like. Catch 22 is also a good Shakespeare one. And
you shut your hole now. Now,
no,
before you dig yourself
there's
deeper.
There's one more. I can't remember all of a sudden. I just lost it when you told me Catch 22. I'll come back to it.
No, you will not. All right? Come on, people.
Oh, conspiracy theory.
What is wrong with you?
That has Catcher in the
Why
Ryan.
Do you hate
that,
me?
That had Patrick Stewart.
Who is a Shakespearean actor, but that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, Moby Dick.
And what's his name?
Christmas Carol. Star Trek.
Star Trek's done a bunch of Shakespeare.
I know.
But that doesn't mean anything.
No, what's the guy, the Lethal Weapon guy? He was also in conspiracy.
Oh, yes, Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson.
He was in Henry V, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was also in Hamlet.
Passion yeah, wasn't he Hamlet in Kenneth, not Kenneth Branagh, he was in this really bad Hamlet,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he was in that, the
Mel Gibson Hamlet.
Yeah, the one that Clueless made a reference to.
Not the, the Oscar-winning Hamlet, the other one.
Did Kenneth Branagh actually win an Oscar
for
that one?
No, the 1940s Hamlet.
Oh, the 1940s Hamlet, okay, with Laurence Olivier.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because that actually is a very good adaptation of Hamlet. The problem with Hamlet, of course, is that if you actually put all of the scenes out there as written, it's about 3.5 hours. And so the only movie that I've seen that does every single scene in Hamlet is the Kenneth Branagh, I Love Kenneth Branagh edition of Hamlet. Because have you seen that?
There's an additional edition?
Well, no.
Is that what it says on the DVD?
No, the entire movie is Kenneth Branagh's love song to himself, though. And it's just so horrible. Like, have you seen any of it? You know how Kenneth Branagh looks, right?
Yes.
He has this, in the movie, he has this thin black mustache, but he doesn't touch his hair at all.
He's a pencil stash?
He has like this black mustache, and it doesn't look right at all. It's like the worst piece of costuming, and you just stare at it the entire time while he's shouting and pontificating as Hamlet. And it's like, oh my god. It's terrible looking. Meanwhile, it has Kate Winslet as Ophelia, which is actually a pretty good version. It has Charlton Heston in it, which is really overdone but hilarious. But yeah, I mean, the Kenneth Branagh edition is pretty fun, and as long as you fast forward through the boring parts and the parts where it's just Kenneth Branagh, like, loving himself on camera, then it's not bad.
Loving himself on camera.
But, you know, let's move the topic on to, you know, adaptations of Shakespeare. We've talked about West Side Story. We've talked about a little bit about Kiss Me, Kate.
Lion King.
The Lion King. Ten Things I Hate About You, which was the Tame of the Shrew. Like,
Gargoyles.
Beastmaster.
Would you stop?
Oh, Gargoyles.
Gargoyles does have.
Actually, Gargoyles does have some parts of it, yes.
Well, one of my favorite adaptations was an episode of Moonlighting, where they did Taming of the Shrew.
It was Bruce Willis, and who else was it?
Sybil Shepherd.
Sybil Shepherd.
That's right.
It's actually a really famous one. And we actually just watched it in class.
Really?
This is like a decade after it aired.
But yeah, I mean, the whole thing about Shakespeare is that he didn't write really any new stories or original stories. He just wrote them down in such a way that they would live forever. And so people will adapt them and make them their own. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there that we can really sink our teeth into these days. Like, I know that I'm not going to be necessarily popular with this, but I really liked Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet with Leonardo DiCaprio.
I didn't see all of that, but what I saw, I thought it was fine.
It was the part that people didn't like was the whole thing with John Leguizamo, I think, was in that one. With like, and they turned the Capulets into a bunch of Latinos and crazy gangsters and stuff.
I remember that. West Side Story. Weird adaptations.
Okay.
Of the Romeo and Juliet story.
It's a decent soundtrack.
like
everyone I knew growing up had that soundtrack.
The most kind of, well, besides Romeo Must Die, was the most like kind of off the wall one that I saw was Underworld.
Underworld is based on Romeo and Juliet.
It's basically the same story.
That's what they claim.
Are you just talking about the star-crossed lovers thing?
Yes,
or is it
they claim that as their defense in the lawsuit against White Wolf Publishing.
Yeah. From, like, you know, it has the two feuding families.
Vampires and werewolves.
Yeah. Stuff like that.
Sigh.
Do they literally bite their thumbs at each other?
I think they bite their necks.
A lot of things. I mean, vampires, werewolves, they bite.
Sigh.
They also suck.
I'm just going to sigh right here again. Karen, what about you? What's your favorite little version?
My favorite? I do like the 10 Things I Hate About You movie. I only saw the first episode of the TV show, so I feel weird that they're reviving it after so long, but I don't know. What do you think? Come back to me.
Tangent, Clueless was Emma?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Not Shakespeare.
It was not Shakespeare, as a matter of fact.
Jane Austen.
See, I didn't say that.
Yeah. Thanks for that, Kevin.
Legally Blonde. The musical. No, actually, it's not an adaptation, although there are elements, is Shakespeare in Love, which I thought was clever back when it came out. I don't really revisit it that much
anymore. Yeah, I watched it again, and I was like, why did this movie win an Oscar?
Because it just had the right timing in terms of marketing and promotion.
Because the thing is that
it came out of nowhere.
It was Tom Stoppard, like, right, who wrote that one?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look that up 1 second.
Oh, wait. I thought of it. 5-Minute Hamlet.
What's that from?
It's like a 5-minute version?
Pretty much.
Oh, Hamlet 2.
Oh, Hamlet 2.
From, what was that movie again?
Hamlet 2. It was called Hamlet 2.
Oh, it was actually called Hamlet 2?
Yeah, it was actually called Hamlet 2, and it was about Jesus.
Rock Me Sexy Jesus.
Rock Me Sexy Jesus.
Has nothing to do with Hamlet.
Well, actually, you're
very
right.
Little. Very little.
Oh, and I also like Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
Oh, yeah,
Dead. Yeah, that's the thing, is that Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead is written by Tom Stoppard, who also wrote Shakespeare in Love. And so it's like, I went back to Shakespeare in Love and went, man, Tom Stoppard can do so much better than this.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can say that about a lot of people.
Oscar time, baby.
Yeah.
So can I chain that further down and go to Tag and Binker Dead?
No.
Yeah. That's practically Shakespeare. Tag and Bink are Dead.
For those of you who don't know, that's a comic book. Star Wars. It's awesome.
And I can bring that down to the next level, and it's pretty much the same thing as Dead or Alive, the video game series.
Stop!
No, the movie as well.
Oh, and the movie. DOA.
Have you guys stopped yet?
I'm done.
Thank God.
Next question.
If it counts, I'd like to say Gargoyles again.
Sure. Which part of it? Again, I forget.
Well, they take so many elements from all of those Shakespeare scenes.
Because it all mushes together after a while in Gargoyles.
Macbeth, Puck,
the witches. Well, Puck wasn't really taken from Shakespeare, but I guess he was in a Shakespeare play, so why not? Their interpretation of Puck came from Shakespeare, so there you go.
Data as Puck.
Data? That was Brent Spiner?
Yeah.
I shouldn't be surprised at all by this, actually.
Not when it comes to Gargoyles.
Like, a third of the cast was just Star Wars. Star Trek.
Oh! What's that sound, Karen? What's that sound?
Freudian slip. Sorry.
So anyway, my favorite adaptations of Shakespeare are the ones from way back when people decided that Shakespeare had to have happy endings. And so If you've ever seen any of these productions, or if you've ever read their versions of the play, like at the end of Romeo and Juliet, people will get up and go, "Oh, look, the dagger missed my heart. I'm alive. Oh, good. The poison was not all the way into my system. I'm alive, too. I love you, Romeo. I love you, too, Juliet. Let's get married."
Wasn't that... No, wait. Mel Gibson... Didn't Mel Gibson survive? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's not just surviving, though. It was... They had to tack on happy endings. Yeah. Where, like, at the end of King Lear, King Lear not only lives, but Cordelia lives as well. It's like, don't worry, I didn't really get hanged. I just, you know, faked it. Now I'm alive, and we can live happily and reunite the kingdom.
Actually, this reminds me of, if you've ever seen or heard the musical Reefer Madness, there's a great song, I think it's called Shakespeare, where you just have to listen to it. It's like they think that Romeo and Juliet will have a happy ending, and they're going to live happily ever after, and... If you actually watch the movie, which was made by Showtime and starred Kristen Bell, you see, like, what's it called? Like, for someone in the background, like, no, that's not right. it's a really interesting musical.
No, Hamlet, that's not your father's ghost. It's just old Farmer McCree.
I would have gotten away with it, too.
If it weren't for you meddling kids. Oh, now I want the Scooby-Doo version of Hamlet.
Anyway, now I'm just thinking about that Taylor Swift song.
Which one?
Oh, Hamlet.
No.
Twelfth Night.
Interrupted by Kanye West.
10 Things I Hate About You.
No, the Romeo and Juliet one where they end up happily ever or whatever. Because they're like, we're like Romeo and Juliet, but it has like a happy
ending. The baby, it's a love story, something.
Or, yes. Or in anime, they like to have the happy ending a lot. There was like a terrible episode.
Oh, Romeo crossed Juliet.
I didn't finish that one either, where they're in this like weird flying city and Juliet's mother is a tree. Yeah. I'm not kidding about that part either.
He's
was terrible.
He's not.
It was terrible, terrible.
But no, there's an episode of Kamikaze Kaisojan, and the anime's terrible. The manga's good, but the anime's like terrible. But like, there's a play and they were doing Romeo and Juliet, but and she like, you know, steals like evil like whatever from the devil or whatnot, and then like turns into chess pieces. But anyway, at the end of the play,
that sounds just like Shakespeare.
No. But at the end of the Romeo and Juliet play, the Romeo's dead, but then Juliet's like, "Oh, well, he might be dead, but I'm just gonna go live my life." And like,
so it was an adaptation of West Side Story.
No, she's still depressed at the end of West Side Story.
Don't they do Romeo and Juliet in Cardcaptor Sakura as well? But there's the two dudes.
Oh my god. That might just
Which
happen.
Is actually very much more like Shakespeare.
Yeah, it's true. Kevin making reference to the fact that back in the Victorian era,
dudes loved kissing each other.
Well, that was one thing, yes, but female parts were played by male actors because there were no such things as female actors, which you find out in Shakespeare in Love.
60 academics just punched the air.
What?
It's a
Doctor Who.
I see. But yeah, I totally lost my train of thought. Random happy endings. Sakura Tyson did that, remember?
Yeah, they did the comedy version of King Lear.
They actually went through the script of King Lear and went, "Damn, this is depressing. Let's give it a happy ending." And, you know, I personally went, "Oh my god." And then after a little bit, I went, "Okay, that's fine. That's what people back in the 20s did anyway." But, after a while, you get used to all of these terrible, terrible adaptations. You just sort of take them for what they are. Like that strange Flying City Pegasus anime version of Romeo and Juliet, where her mother is a tree. I'm not going to give this one up. It was really weird. So what other versions do you guys
Romeo
like?
Romeo and Juliet can only be made better with Kung Fu and X-ray vision.
X-ray
breaking.
Thanks, Jet Li. That was your
pick. Oh, Romeo must die. I was like, what are you talking about?
Well, all right. So let's move on. Like, let's dig in a little deeper. I mean, what scenes do you like that just stick with you and, you know, either have the most meaning or are the ones you most like seeing on screen because they're awesome?
I have one in particular that I really, really like, and I'm being serious about this.
Okay. Honestly. Just check.
Romeo and Juliet, the part where he visits the apothecary and he talks to the guy to get the poison.
Okay. You just like that part? Why do you like that part?
Oh, I just love it.
I feel like I'm a high school teacher now. Come on, seriously, dude.
No, I always feel like that scene is totally too much. Like, why? It doesn't really need to be there. And that's why I love they joke about it in Shakespeare in Love, where they're like, oh, you know, I'm an investor. I want to be in the play. Oh, I wrote this part for you. You're the guy at the apothecary. It's like, oh, awesome.
Like, it's like a one scene part.
I really
yeah.
feel like this is why this scene is in here.
I guess that's fair enough, since you attach it to something that's actually
No, I also like Out Vile Jelly. I like I Bite My Thumb at You. I actually like
Mercutio's death scene better, where he just starts getting really...
Houses.
Yeah, where he just starts shouting so angrily. Like, that's one of the reasons I like Baz Luhrmann's version, where when Mercutio's dying, he's pissed. And he's screaming, and it's raining, and he's like... He's just a very large and very angry man at that point. And so it's a cool turning point. But the apothecary, not as much.
I also like the concept of poison being poured into your ear.
Thanks, Hamlet.
I know.
Good job.
And Hamlet ghosts.
I thought you hated ghosts.
No. But in Shakespeare, ghosts are like, it's weird, man.
Like Macbeth.
How do they portray it on the stage?
Usually it was just
a guy with a sheet over his...
A guy in a costume that made him look like a ghost.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Like white makeup and
They
stuff.
Should really have one where it's a guy just wearing a sheet with the little eyes cut out.
Cartman style?
Yes.
With a pointed hat.
Yes.
I was thinking Beetlejuice.
What?
Like oh. I said, Cartman style.
The pointy hat ghost. I'm sorry.
Yes. All right, Sung, do you have any scenes that stick with you?
None directly from Shakespeare. Like, I'm just thinking of all the adaptation ones.
Do you like the America song? Because that's totally from Shakespeare.
Oh, yes, the American song.
While Sung is still thinking, Karen, what about you?
Like I said, I like the Mark Antony speech a lot. I also like the part where there's like hair pulling and shouting in Midsummer's Night Dream, because that was fun to do on stage.
You actually got to fight each other on stage?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. No wonder you like Shakespeare.
I think I ended up... It was either me or the other girl got dragged across the stage, too, because...
Did you like the part where you stuck the dagger into their eye and then pulled it out? Said, oh, I'll jelly.
It's not sticking a dagger into your eye. He does it with his hands, actually.
I thought he does it with a spoon.
Oh, he does it with his... No. He doesn't do it with a spoon, I believe.
This is elementary school. He needs a spork.
He does it with his boot in some versions of it.
His boot?
Yes.
How does that work? The heel or the toe?
The heel, probably.
How does it still work?
Because the guy's on the ground. I don't know. Anyway. I really shouldn't have introduced that. Karen, go.
Yeah, we also did, let's see, we did that one as a musical, too, actually, so it was kind of interesting.
Did you like the part where you started singing about Maria?
I didn't do any actual singing, but we introduced singing, and Puck was like going around on like one of those boards with wheels or whatever.
Not a skateboard.
It wasn't a skateboard. It was
like, wheelboard.
Maybe.
Wagon?
No, not a wagon.
Dolly?
No.
Just move on.
And then, for Taming of the Shrew, it's always good to, you know, have that witty dialogue in the conflict.
Yeah, the entire Taming of the Shrew is just so much of a good back and forth. It's awesome.
I was sad. I wanted to be like, you know, Kate, but I ended up being like Bianca.
But everybody likes Bianca.
Yeah, but
not Karen.
Screw Bianca.
Yeah. Screw Bianca. I want to be the shrew. I don't want to be the actually marriageable one. Yeah.
My favorite scene is from...
when James Earl Jones comes out of the cloud.
They're stars, dude. Oh, wait. Cloud. Version, whichever version you see, the stage or the screen. It's different.
Actually, mine is from a Danny DeVito movie called Renaissance Man.
Oh, Renaissance Man. Yeah,
he's a part-time teacher. He can't get a job, and he ends up taking a position teaching army recruits. And so he teaches them Shakespeare because that's what he knows how to teach. And the scene I'm thinking of is at the end when the drill sergeant is dressing down those people that Danny DeVito has been teaching through the whole movie. Like, you know, what did you really learn? Was it worth anything? And none of them can think of anything except for one guy who starts with the Crispin's Day speech. And he goes through the whole sequence. And yeah, he shuts Gregory Hines up.
Well, okay, like if you could use add like various references.
I'm totally cool with that.
I'm just thinking of the Clueless one. What was her name?
Isn't Clueless Emma?
No.
I think there's a scene that he's thinking
of. Oh, yeah, okay. There's a scene where it's
Alicia Silverstone?
Alicia Silverstone, Paul Rudd, and his girlfriend in the car, and they're talking. Someone quotes a line from Hamlet.
Alicia Silverstone?
You want to say
Alyssa Milano, don't you?
I want to say Alyssa Milano or Allison Hannigan.
Allison Hannigan?
Or Chisa Yokoyama?
Or Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Actually, one of my favorite scenes involves Arnold Schwarzenegger.
But anyways, the girlfriend says, like, oh, that was this character, and then I said Allison again. Alicia Silverstone goes, no, that was this other character. And then they're like, no, I'm pretty sure you're wrong. And like, if you've never seen Clueless, Alicia Silverstone's character is this total valley girl.
Yeah.
Like, really vacuous. And he goes like, well, I remember Mel Gibson, and he didn't say that.
That's true. So yeah, some of my favorite, I'm going to have a long list to go through, so don't mind me. So Ian Holm did a film version
Lord of
the
Rings.
Screen adaptation of King Lear. And his version of King Lear shouting into the storm and stripping off all of his clothes and shouting and crying and all that stuff, it was really, really good and convincing. So if you ever want to see King Lear, I suggest you go see Ian Holm's version of it. But another thing that I really liked in terms of adaptation stuff is if you've seen The Last Action Hero, where he's going through class and he's thinking about Shakespeare and he's like, no, it would be much cooler if it was like this. And then it has Arnold Schwarzenegger as Hamlet. It's like, to be or not to be. Not to be. And just that version of it is really funny because it's just, it's how a kid would think about Hamlet in 15 seconds, you know, as opposed to the actual Hamlet, which is 3 hours of a guy trying to figure out whether or not he should kill his father's murderer, you know? And then you have, let's see what else there is. There's the great scene in Much Ado About Nothing, which is, well, pretty much all of Much Ado About Nothing is great, so I'll just skip over that one. But other scenes, if you guys have ever read your Shakespeare, there's a great little stage direction that lives forever in Shakespeare lore because it's so stupid. Exit pursued by a bear.
Yes, that,
that one's
great.
In A Winter's Tale. And it's a pretty forgettable play in and of itself, but that stage direction is so silly as to be awesome. And then what made me a Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead fan for the rest of my life is that when I was in high school, I saw back-to-back a full production of Hamlet, and then with the exact same cast, a full production of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead. And so the Hamlet was the same, the Rosencrantz and the Guildenstern were the same, and it was incredible. It was like 6 hours, but whatever. It was incredible. Like, if you've ever seen Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, it is pretty much the opposite of Hamlet in that the dialogue just goes bam, 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 joke, 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 joke. And then there's this just entirely different level of like nihilistic slash existential meaning to it. And it's really, really good. And you're looking, what are you looking at me like that for? What are you looking at me like that for? Seriously, come on.
No, no.
He's drunk.
You said existential, and I was like, oh.
But yeah, how many of you guys have seen Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead? Either in production or in the movie version with, I think, was it Gary Oldman?
I haven't seen it.
I saw the film
I'm
version.
Pretty sure it's Gary Oldman.
I have not remembered it in
I
a long time.
Again
I did
that,
enjoy
that
it.
The Romeo and Juliet song from the Shakespeare song from Reefer Madness is very fun. You could probably YouTube it.
Reaper Man had a Shakespeare song?
Reefer Madness.
Reefer Madness. I'm like, Reaper Man? Reaper Man is only a little bit different from Reefer Madness.
Wait, what's Reaper Man? I know of Repo Man.
Reaper?
Reaper without the man?
Oh, maybe. I don't know. So, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I really recommend Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead. The movie version actually did as much as you can do with a minimalist play, because if you've ever seen minimalist plays, basically, they're supposed to be performed on a black stage, maybe with a tree. And so they did the best that they could trying to actually stage that for a film, interestingly. Like, the questions game especially is awesome if you look at it. And you guys are looking at me blankly again.
Sorry. When you mentioned the play of The Dark Stage, Nothing But a Tree, I was like, oh, so Juliet's mother is covered.
Damn, you, was that Gonzo too, wasn't it, that did that animation?
Yes.
Oh, and they did so well with their freaking Count of Monte Cristo adaptation. That one was really good.
Oh, yeah. Genkyutsu.
So, Kevin, do you actually have the Shakespeare game show? Or are we going to skip that?
Oh, the Shakespeare game show. No, I don't have it.
Okay, so never mind. I'm going to cut this part out.
Actually, no. Here's the quiz for you guys.
Oh,
you
good
guys
Lord.
Versus Dom.
Oh, good Lord.
And the questions are what?
Shakespeare.
Stop. So, is Eurotrip a Shakespeare? Is there an element of Shakespeare in Eurotrip? So, I will let Dom answer second. Oh, actually, I'll let you, Dom, answer first. You guys.
What are you even doing?
This is a true false. So the question.
Why is Eurotrip next to Gladiator?
This is the.
It's alphabetical.
So, Dom. Is there a reference to Shakespeare in Eurotrip?
Sure.
The correct answer is false. The winners of the game show are anyone but Dom.
This is the worst game show.
I don't even know if we should keep this.
We're not going to. You're editing this one, Kevin, so it's your fault.
Yay, gonna be part of the clip show.
Oh, man. So, has anybody here actually read any of Shakespeare's poetry?
Yes.
Did you? What are you doing? What are you doing with the Wolverine claws? Come on, Kevin.
What? No, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Are
Go
you
ahead.
Sure you're fine?
I'm sure.
Oh, this is a terrible episode by my standards. I'm sure the readers, not the readers, I'm sure the listeners will love this. What are you looking at me like
Nothing.
That for?
Go, 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 go.
So yeah, I mean,
hey, do you know this about like in every action movie nowadays, when there's a bunch of soldiers and they're supposed to, you know, go around the corner, they can't just say go. They have to always go
go go go
go go go go go go. Go. They can't just say like go. They have to go. Okay, ready, ready, go go go.
I think it's because I think it's because of Counter Strike.
Yeah.
Go go go
go go go. Reporting in. Okay, go on to Shakespeare again.
Anything of Shia and his no, 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 no,
oh, yeah.
No.
No, 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 no,
and I don't... Okay, so... Let's see here. Who would you most like to...
Bite my thumb at you.
Cut that part out, Kevin. So, out of the actors that who are popular today, who would you actually like to see in Shakespeare? That's a good question.
Jason Statham. Hey, listen to me. He'd be great in Titus.
He would be great in Titus and
Midsummer Night's Dream.
Why would he be great in Midsummer Night's Dream?
Hamlet
Explain.
As the ghost?
Why would he be great in Hamlet as the ghost? He'd be Fortinbras.
There's one person I think that would be really, really cool, and that would be Eric Bana as Bana. Eric Bana.
Eric Toilet? Eric Bana as?
Eric Bana as Iago.
That would be cool.
Yeah. I like him playing evil people.
Yeah, and Iago is the most evil character pretty much ever. Like, he doesn't even have a reason for being evil. He's just that evil.
I was actually thinking Jason Statham as Iago.
Why?
Actually, you know who else would be good as Iago is... Oh, shoot, I just forgot. Hey.
What do you...
Andy Serkis.
Who's Andy Serkis?
Andy Serkis would be great as Iago.
That would be
He's,
pretty cool.
He's Gollum.
Oh.
But he also does a lot of other, you know, he does acting too.
Yeah. Yeah, like Iago is so evil that people have run onto the stage during productions of Othello and just grabbed Othello and shook him and going, why can't you see? He's so evil.
You know what else would be really awesome is if the voice of Iago from Aladdin, the
comedian,
Gilbert Godfrey played Iago in Hamlet. I mean, Othello.
I would say
Gilbert Godfrey dubbing over Eric Bana as...
with you guys. That's fine, actually. Sung, who would you like to see in any kind of Shakespeare? Just because, you know, a lot of ways, going into Shakespeare is a nice break for a lot of actors because it's so... A lot of things are just such a dream role for actors because, you know, everybody... Every guy wants to be Hamlet. Every girl wants to be, like, not necessarily Ophelia, but they want to be...
get thee to a nunnery.
What is her name in Viola? That's right. people, you know, the women want to be Viola and things like that, or, you know, Queen, what is her name, the Queen of the Fairies?
Titania.
I was about to say Mab, and that would be the wrong one. That's the one who's mentioned in Mercutio's speech.
I don't know, like, the only thing I could think of is not really, like, it's kind of like the, what I would think would be popular, which would be Orlando Bloom as Romeo.
Well, he wouldn't do any worse than Leonardo DiCaprio, really. Although Leonardo DiCaprio has turned out to be a pretty good actor, so, ever since Romeo and Juliet. Like, back when he did Romeo and Juliet, people were just like, oh, he's just getting by on his looks. These days, I guess he's a pretty good actor, huh?
Mine would be Patrick Stewart as Julius Caesar and Jonathan Frakes as Mark Anthony.
Didn't they actually do that on the holodeck? I remember specifically the Henry V they did on Star Trek, where Patrick Stewart was Henry V. I don't remember the Julius Caesar they did on that one, though.
Brent Spiner as Mark Anthony.
I remember,
was it?
I'm making these up.
Are you? Wait, son, you have to back me. You have to be my fact checker on this one. Which Shakespeare's have they done on Star Trek: The Next Generation, or did they do?
I don't even know. I know in one episode of Voyager they did Beowulf, but
that's the other Shakespeare.
You shut your hole now.
Starring Antonio Banderas.
Yeah, didn't Shakespeare invent Old English?
Keep going.
Anyways, I was going to say, one of my favorite Star Trek stories is one that Jonathan Frakes likes to say in conventions, which was like, you know, some random scene that they're filming, and it's like one of those shaky cam ones where the ship is supposed to shake. And the thing is, for the television series, the ship doesn't actually shake. They just shake the camera, and people act like they're shaking around.
Yep.
And so, it was like Patrick Stewart sitting in his captain's chair, just shaking around, and he just like explained like 12 years in the Royal Shakespeare Company for this.
Well, then
or
again,
however long he is in the Shakespeare Company.
But then again, isn't there that story where someone asked him, like, so what's it like doing Star Trek after Shakespeare? And he's like, what is that supposed to mean? Like, How are you supposed to know that 12 years of Shakespeare wasn't to prepare me for 7 years of Star Trek or something like that, right? He said something like that. I forget. But it was awesome when he said it, and I can't tell it very well. Karen?
Let's see.
Would you like to see Kenneth Branagh in a really ugly mustache?
No. Let's see. James Purefoy as... Well, he played Mark Antony already in Rome, so I'll go with that.
Yes. I was like, he played Mark Antony.
You might as well.
And then,
Would you rather see him in Antony and Cleopatra, Julius Caesar, or Yes?
What's Yes?
Yes is yes to both.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that'd be fine. Let's see. I guess Steve Carell is that one guy in Twelfth Night. I can't remember. You know which one I'm talking about? The
yes.
Fool. Like, what's his name again, Dom?
The Fool? Is
well,
it Dom?
Let me open up the entire complete works of Shakespeare. I actually brought them today. While you're doing that, keep going.
I don't know, because I don't keep track of that many actors, so I can't think of any more off the top of my head. So we'll go to Mike.
What about Paul Rudd as Mercutio?
He can't be angry enough. Mercutio is supposed to be really volatile.
Opportunity.
I wouldn't mind Seth Rogen as Mercutio.
What about Sean Connery as Mercutio?
No. For what? He's too fat these days.
William Shatner as Mercutio.
William Shatner as King Lear, I might allow. But I'd rather see Patrick Stewart as King Lear.
Or he could be out, vile jelly.
That's not even King Lear who says that one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's one of the Dukes. I think it's the Duke of Cornwall who says that one.
DVD.
Don't quote me on that one.
God damn it, man.
DVD?
DVD.
His name is Feste, if you're wondering.
Okay.
The Fool, yeah.
Wait, no, not that one. The, what is it?
The Other Fool.
The Fool who follows around Olivia, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay, fine. It's been a really long time.
Mike, would you like to see Jason Statham?
Well, I've been just looking at the big wall, looking for inspiration.
What about Peter Cullen?
Hugh Jackman?
Yeah, can't there be
Macbeth's wife? What's her name?
Macbeth's what? Wife?
Lady Macbeth.
Just Lady Macbeth.
Yes.
Okay. Famke Janssen as Lady Macbeth.
Famke Janssen as in Jean Grey.
And then Hugh Jackman as Macbeth. I'm actually, and James Marsden
I'm actually
as
thinking
some
more
guy.
Of House, Haunted House on the Hill? Or House on
Ooh,
the Hill?
James Marsters.
Yeah, James...
Well,
hey,
Piccolo?
Can you put both James Marsters and James Marsden in the same movie?
Yes,
and
we'll have them play the twins.
Throw in, what's his name? Justin Chatwin, for good measure.
What the hell's wrong with you people? Come on.
Justin Chatwin as Hamlet.
Justin Chatwin as the ghost. As Iago. The ghost of Iago. In
dubbed over by Gilbert Godfrey.
Electric Boogaloo.
Everyone's dead at the end of Othello. What the hell?
That's why there's ghost versions.
What is wrong with you? Anyway, fine.
Yeah, I was thinking specifically of the Haunted House on the Hill.
Wow, I just
you mean the house on Haunted Hill?
Yeah, Tom Cruise's Hamlet.
I do not want to see Tom Cruise's Hamlet.
Was there a Tom Cruise Hamlet?
No.
Oh,
I'm just thinking like, what would be a terrible movie?
So here's the thing: is that I've only ever seen a clip of this, and I need to actually see it. But in a Shakespeare in the Park rendition of King Lear, Raoul Julia played Edmund, and he was so awesome in that. But I only saw a clip, and so I need to track that thing down. Meanwhile, other people I would like to see in Shakespeare, just for the hell of it, I would actually want to see Jason Statham in a serious role. So I want to see him. Let's put him in Henry V as King Henry V. Why not? Let's have an Australian guy play Henry V, and see what happens.
He wasn't a period. He wasn't a period movie.
Wait,
right?
He's not Australian.
Yeah, didn't we get corrected?
Yeah,
we got
covered on this before. He's not Australian.
Wasn't he? Wait,
no.
I thought we said he was Australian and he was.
I thought we said
he was British and he's actually Australian. Is it the other way around?
No, I think it's the other way around. He's just British, no Australian.
He's British.
Yeah, he's just British.
He just seems really criminal.
He just seems criminal.
What was the period piece he was in, or is it just a costume he was wearing?
Are you talking about in the Dungeon name of Siege, the king? In the name of the king?
Oh, yes. That quality one. Ray Liotta was also in that.
Yes, he was.
What happened to Ray Liotta?
I don't know. Yeah, that's the only thing I can see that on his credits that there's anything even involving fantasy. The most of the rest of them involve cars.
Crank is fantasy.
It is fantasy, but
trust
not
me, it is.
Different kind of fantasy.
But like Ghosts of Mars, the only thing I can think of where he gets in a non-modern costume.
Do they actually have ghosts in it?
I don't think so.
Hamlet's father on
Mars. No, they're just monsters on Mars, I thought.
Oh, they're monsters, but they're
not
ghosts.
No, they aren't ghosts.
Okay, they just call it
they're like,
Monsters of Mars.
I can't... It's been a long time, and I only saw part of the movie, but it seems like something like it was like monsters that were possessed by spirits.
Vin Diesel as Othello.
Hey, wait.
Othello's defining feature is that he's black. He's the Moor of Venice. We are not making Vin Diesel black.
Is
okay.
Richard the Third?
Richard,
who wrote that?
Richard the Third is in fact Shakespeare.
Okay, yeah. There we go.
Have you guys
Ian McKellen.
Yes, the Ian McKellen Richard the Third is incredible. It is set in fascist Germany.
It is the first Red Band trailer I've ever seen.
Really?
Yes.
It was actually Red Band?
Yes.
I didn't realize that.
I'm just remembering like the old Othello, like do if you like rent the videos from the library, those type of things, like. We're like, you know, the main character is black, so they do blackface on a white guy.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
But these days, you know, since there are many more black actors than there used to be, it is one of those coveted roles. Like, I believe James Earl Jones did it when he was younger. If he didn't, I would be very surprised. Lawrence Fishburne has done it now. And, you know, Othello is just one of those roles people want to do.
Oh, what was it? The 7-Up commercial?
Orlando Jones?
Yeah, where he's like, I did Shakespeare.
What about
Alan Rickman in Galaxy Quest? Yes. I played Hamlet at Cambridge.
There were three curtain calls.
I need to see Galaxy Quest again.
Hey, it's on Blu-ray soon.
I really saw it. I did see it recently, but I'm waiting out on the Blu-ray to see it again. I saw it on TV. It was on TBS at random, I think. But yeah, Alan Rickman. Oh, Alan Rickman would make a good Iago. I think he's already played Iago, actually.
I think so, too.
Because he's just such a good villain.
What about Bruce Willis as Iago? And then, And then Alan Rickman as Othello.
One thing that's been, like, bugging me from, like, way back when was, like, people are asking, like, where have you seen that guy from, who was an engineer on Galaxy Quest? Like, where have I seen him before?
And, like, Tony Shalhoub?
Monk?
Wings,
yeah.
Stark Raving Mad?
13th Ghost?
No. He was the main alien guy. I was thinking of the wrong guy.
Oh, the main alien guy.
Mean from Veronica Mars?
Yeah, besides Veronica
Mars. Enrico...
Yeah, like, the thing is, like, I was trying to think, I said News Radio, but I was wrong. He was on, like, I think it was Just Shoot Me,
he wasn't Just Shoot Me, he was a cameraman.
Yeah. And I was like, I got that wrong, because, like, when I was talking about it, I was like, because I got those two shows mixed up, and, like, I said News Radio, like, and people were like, I don't remember him being in News Radio.
Damn it, now thanks to you guys, I'm just thinking about the cast of The Expendables in Othello. It's like Terry Crews as Othello.
What about Phil Hartman as Iago?
Has he actually done that?
No. I would think Phil Hartman would be awesome in some sort of Shakespeare thing.
Yeah, he was such a good actor. I'm sure The Simpsons have done Shakespeare at some point.
What about Bill Murray?
Would Bill Murray be that good? Let's see. I mean, I don't think he can get angry enough for a lot of the parts.
He could do a comedy.
He probably could.
Yeah.
Martin Mull as Macbeth.
Martin Mull? Who's that?
He was Colonel Mustard in Clue.
What?
I just saw Clue on the shelf there.
Oh, what about Tim Curry? Who actually was
Tim Curry, man? Tim Curry.
Mr. Green. Professor Plum.
Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah. Mrs.
Christopher
White,
Lloyd would be
whatever.
Fine in Shakespeare.
The candlestick. The rope.
The candlestick. Who was it? Who voiced Rank. Him in
Mr. Body.
Jerry Orbach was.
Jerry Orbach probably also was in Shakespeare at some point in his career.
He is a chandelabra. I mean, candelabra.
What the hell is a chandelabra?
It's like chupacabra, only less so.
The hell?
Candelabra. Chandelabra. Miss Chenandler Bong.
I still love that. The game show episode of Friends.
Yeah, we were supposed to do one of those.
Yeah, the game show episode of Friends?
The great highlights from the series. Great
tie.
Yeah. Luckily, like, how well do you know?
A lightning round! Okay.
It's a trans monster.
Okay. So, actually, Tim Curry played Shakespeare in The Life of Shakespeare. That's the connection to Clue, if you want.
Oh.
Oh, what?
We got it.
Okay. Anyway, let's just cut that part out because it doesn't make any sense. Let's just wrap this episode up because we're really winding down.
Oh.
What's that? What even is that sound? What's that the sound of?
It's a super rugged sound.
It's the
Almost.
What?
Super rugged sound.
Oh. Now you're playing Storm. Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
Or X-Men vs. Street Fighter. Or...
Yeah, she only ever has two different voice samples, right? She goes, oh, and Typhoon.
Viper. Hyper Viper.
He also says scimitar. I think that's the only things he says, though. So let's... Okay, fine. Let's just finish up, all right? Why are you saluting me now?
With the wrong hand.
You're going to make me cry.
That wasn't his hand. No.
All right. Anyway, so according to this little lesson plan that Kevin had put out, the last thing is supposed to be your three favorite Shakespeare works.
My three favorite are Julius Caesar.
Okay.
Titus.
Titus Andronicus, by the way. Titus was a very bad
I always
Fox
say
comedy.
I know. Oh, man.
If you want the next most violent one,
one,
it's Macbeth.
I don't know if I want to say Hamlet or... Hamlet feels so common.
Macbeth is bloody enough that you can
I
go
do
with
like
it.
Macbeth.
I mean, there's that entire speech where he talks about wading in an ocean of blood.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
I just really like Julius Caesar and Titus Andronicus.
Titus Andronicus. Well, why do you like Julius Caesar, though? Is it for the...
I like the whole...
Backstabbing?
You know, when I actually... Well, I do love the backstabbing. But when I read it, it was really one of those kind of things because it's set in a different time that I'm not used to. So the fact that it was even a Shakespeare play was kind of interesting. But I like that whole, I like the whole concept. I like that time period, the Roman Empire, things like that. And it was actually the first time I actually learned about the, you know, the whole story about Julius Caesar and the betrayal. So
that's true.
I like, works about betrayal with violence.
For me, the thing about Julius Caesar is that it came a little bit after I first started reading Asterix. And so my view of the Romans was totally messed up. And then I went, oh, this is what they're supposed to be like. So I haven't quite latched on to Julius Caesar.
I also like Lord of the Rings.
Stop! That's not even three. That was number four. Come on. Move on to some.
All right. I guess the number three is Merchant of Venice, even though I don't remember a thing about it. I just remember when I read it in high school, I liked it.
Did you ever see the critic making fun of The Merchant of Venice as, what is it? It was Keanu Reeves playing The Merchant of Venice. When is a dude not a dude? If you prick me, do I not say ow? It was pretty awesome.
I remember that too.
Thanks.
Okay. That's the catchphrase from the show.
Let me think. Number two, I guess, would be Hamlet, just because I know that one the best. I've seen so many different versions of that that are actually more accurate to the actual play.
Than the Mel Gibson version? Gibson version was actually pretty accurate.
No, I'm saying compared to, like, Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, yeah. Romeo and Juliet, they just mess with.
Yeah. And then, let's see. I guess number one would be Taming of the Shrew.
You actually like the full Taming of the Shrew? Or do you like the adaptations better?
I like the Mulaney adaptation.
That's fair enough. I like Kiss Me, Kate, because I really like singing gangsters for some reason.
You know, I've still never read Taming of the Shrew.
Taming of the Shrew, when you go through just straight, is really problematic to me because, you know, they're fighting, and suddenly at the end he wins for no good reason.
Oh, no. In our adaptation, it Sindhi? Was more like a twist where the woman just let him think he was winning.
Yeah, you see, that's what most people interpret it as. But, you know, if you just do it as written, then she just comes out and she's all like, and I'm your wife now.
Oh, yeah. And also, one thing that Josh Whedon learned from doing television is that you can say very, very, very vulgar things if you're very poetic about it.
Yep.
The moonlighting episode, like we watched it, like I said, we watched it again in high school, and it is very dirty. It's just they say it in kind of the old English eloquent way.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis talking about, basically what he's saying is like, sit on my lap while I have while I'm aroused type thing. And he says it in kind of a nice, you know, old English kind of way that you don't really understand what it means. And then, like, in watching in high school, like, whoa.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a lot of things that a lot of people don't necessarily realize, you know, when they're going through Shakespeare, is that he had a foul sense of humor, and it was awesome. I mean, that scene that Kevin keeps referring to, the biting of the thumb and stuff like that, that opening scene has a bunch of servants talking about how they'll throw girls up against the wall and have sex with them. And people don't realize that if they're just going through, because the language is couched in such a way that it's just kind of funny. It's like, ha, 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 ha.
Did your high school teacher do this same thing too? It's like, when you read it and you're confused, it's probably about sex.
Pretty much. Karen?
It's really hard for me to pick three.
But... just pick as many as you want. I don't care.
Okay. Pick 10.
Yeah.
Fill it to 10.
Okay.
You don't have to go exactly to 10.
My number one is Midsummer's Night Dream, because I'm really fond of it, though I didn't actually like it that much when I read it for the first time, but after acting it...
Well, that's the thing is a lot of the comedies are not very easy to figure out when you're reading them. And then when you see them played out, because they're plays, then the body language really gives you a lot more, and it's a lot more funny. Like, I remember this one scene in Much Ado About Nothing. I was reading it, it's like, oh, this is kind of funny. And then I saw the movie version of it, and it has, you know, Kenneth Branagh falling out of his seat, and it has him, you know, like, really overreacting to a bunch of the stuff. And it's like, oh, now this is really funny, you know, that kind of thing. And I saw it in the Oregon Shakespeare Festival up in Ashland, and it was even funnier when they were doing it on stage, too. You know, the guy was sitting in front of the stage. He was, like, messing around with the audience. It was pretty awesome there. Keep going.
Okay, I like Much Ado About Nothing too.
Hold on. What? Random note, Danny just found out that Much Ado About Nothing is actually a reference to the vagina. It was awesome. he messaged me one day and he's like, wait a second, Much Ado About Nothing is a dirty joke? I'm like, yeah, you didn't know that? Nothing is slang for, you know, the thing that isn't there. And Kevin will have to edit this pretty heavily.
The clitoris?
No, G-spot? The rest of it. Anyway.
Squirrels and chestnuts.
Thanks,
squirrels
and thanks, chestnuts. Tom.
Keep going.
G-spot.
Keep going.
Let's see. 12th Night I like a lot, too. Also Julius Caesar. And I like his sonnets a lot, too. Some of them. Some of them not so much. But I saw a production of Measure for Measure, but actually that's kind of still really boring.
Measure for Measure is really boring. I don't like it.
They said it in the Industrial Revolution, though.
It's just boring.
I know.
Wait, how can it be set in the future?
What? The Industrial Revolution that occurred in the 1800s?
Yeah. Taken back.
I'm just remembering, there's an episode of Girls Next Door. Well, this is like in season one. And then it's basically the, you know, they have little interview parts and like they had to describe, because they have, every year they have the Midsummer Night's Dream Party. And it's like the biggest party, most popular party there is at the Playboy Mansion. And so you have Kendra, who's the stupidest of them all. She goes like, oh, it's a party about the beginning, middle, end of summer, somewhere in there.
Oh, God.
Well, at first she's like, the beginning of summer? Like, no, that's not right. End of summer? Somewhere.
Oh, God.
Hooray.
Okay. I also like The Tempest, The Merchant of Venice, and Hamlet. So.
Right. That's 10.
Oh, Tempest.
Wait, did you count Measure for Measure? Because I don't like that one.
I counted Measure for Measure. I also counted sonnets as one.
Well, you can count sonnets as two.
Measure for Measure out, and I'll think of another one.
Total Recall.
Oh, As You Like It's okay, I guess.
Mike?
Number 3 is Romeo and Juliet, because it's the first one that we actually deconstructed in school. Number 2 is Much Ado About Nothing, because we did see Keanu Reeves being evil for no reason.
Yeah, he's just kind of evil. That's just one of the premises of the play.
And my number 1 is Macbeth, but not for any good reason, but for a totally not good reason.
What's that?
That the reason you can kill Macbeth and get around that prophecy? That's how DMs weasel in Dungeons and Dragons. So you gotta think skewed in order to screw over your players.
I was a C-section, therefore I was not born of woman. So
that's true. Right.
I'm gonna swap that.
Wow.
Macbeth, but yeah.
I remember that too now.
And then the movie Forest. That's good.
Which ones were? Which ones were adapted by Kurosawa? It was
Forrest Gump.
It was Macbeth as Throne of Blood. It was King Lear as Ron. Was there a third one?
Yes, there should be.
No,
I know. I know.
You have no idea, do you?
No, it's
Ron, just those two?
Ron and Throne of Blood, I know. I'm trying to think of the third one. I can't.
But anyway, yeah. So anyway, so King Lear is no surprise in my top 3, because I just like the story the most, and the conflict in it. You know, you have the most motivation everywhere in that, and Ian Holm did a really good version of it that I really like.
Where he takes off his clothes.
Who was he in Lord of the Rings? Was he Bilbo?
He was Baggins.
Bilbo, yes.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, I like Richard III, because that guy's just an ass, and it's great to watch him be just so evil. I mean, it has all the betrayals and bloodshed that you like.
Except I've never read or watched it.
You really should watch the Ian McKellen version. It made a very strong impression on me, to the point where I thought at any moment Gandalf would stab the hobbits in the back and just shoot them while they were lying
there. What about Magneto?
Yeah, I like Ian McKellen in general, so there you go. His Magneto was fine. I'm only at 2 right now, aren't I?
You need one more.
I think you did 3.
Lord of the Rings related.
Yeah.
Shakespeare.
Or Kurosawa related. Let's see, who else in Lord of the Rings was in a Shakespeare? I don't know.
No.
You have no idea, do you? No, and you're just making noise.
I'm just waiting for you.
You do? So say it.
Yeah.
I want to know.
Yeah.
I want to know.
Yeah.
Tell me.
Yeah.
Tell me.
Christopher Lee.
Oh, Christopher Lee. What was he in? He was
Superman. Two. Sorry.
Stop.
Man two.
Say the right one.
Wait, that's not even right.
What?
I'm thinking of someone totally.
You're thinking
different.
Of Elrond, who was in Superman.
Christopher Reeves? That's a little bit different from Count Dracula, you know.
Now I'm just looking through Christopher Lee to see what
Zod is a totally different dude. I'm
yes,
sorry.
Yes, that's Elrond.
That's Chancellor Valorum.
Yeah. I know Chancellor Valorum, but I don't remember his name.
I'm just looking through Christopher Lee's credits
I'm
right now.
Sure
the last
he's
unicorn.
In some Shakespeare.
Yeah, I know. I'm just looking
he's
for
British,
it.
He's British, of course.
British is very old, yes.
Sherlock Holmes, that's not it. Something Italian, no. Fu Manchu. Dracula, Fu Manchu. Five Golden Dragons.
He was in those old Dracula movies.
Rasputin, Dracula.
Yeah, he's the seminal Dracula.
Yeah.
He is the Dracula with Bela Lugosi too, right? Or no?
No.
Bela Lugosi was never a Dracula?
Bela Lugosi was Dracula.
Yeah. So he and Christopher Lee are the Draculas, right? Like the defining ones?
All the Draculas. That's correct.
What about the monster guy?
I thought you were saying
kid, there's only three real monsters. Dracula, Blackula, and Son of Kong. Quit picking your nose and knead that dough.
What is that from?
Futurama.
Okay. Son of Kong?
Because I thought you said Christopher Lee was Dracula in Bela Lugosi's Dracula.
No.
That's Bela Lugosi.
I actually don't see any credits.
Unless
in
somehow Christopher Lee was inside Bela Lugosi.
Let's not talk about that. But yeah, I don't actually see any Shakespeare credits for Christopher Lee, so there you go. Never mind.
He must have.
Yeah.
I see a bunch of Sherlock Holmes and Dracula.
Darn.
Anyway, so my actual third, what have I said so far? Richard III and
Kingdom Hearts?
And King Lear. Bilbo Baggins. I mean, yeah, Bilbo Baggins.
Yeah, my last one will in fact be, what are you looking at?
Christopher Lee was in Kingdom Hearts. He played the gummy ship. Can we move on?
Yeah, let's move on, Mike. Come on. Sorry, that's my fault. And my actually last favorite is probably Macbeth because it's the shortest one. And so many people die.
You don't seem like the kind to pick the shortest one.
Well, the thing is that it's really hard to sit through Hamlet. You really
That's
need a good
why
editor.
I like Old Man in the Sea.
Because it's like
it's like 90 pages or something like that. It's really short. It's about a guy in a fishing boat.
Is it Jack London that wrote that?
No. Old Man in the Sea is Steinbeck.
Oh, Steinbeck.
Was it Steinbeck? I thought it was Hemingway. Anyways.
Oh wait, crap, you're right. It is
it
Hemingway.
It tolls for thee.
Oh, my English points, they went down for the first time in this entire podcast.
Jack London likes to write about wolves.
Jack and Lemon dogs. Or Jack London?
Jack Lemon.
Yes, Jack Lemon writes about wolves all the time.
He also met Data and like all the rest of the crew of Star Trek, Next Generation.
No, he just met Data.
Oh, you're right? Okay.
Yeah.
Who is this?
Jack London.
He wrote Data?
No, when Data. When Data went back in time.
Oh.
He met Mark Twain.
He met, what's her name?
Okay, let's just stop.
I love how we have, like, the most terrible literary. Oh, just me. And maybe some people here. Who wrote what? I don't know.
It was Hemingway.
Did you know
sorry.
That Stephen Sommers directed The Mummy and G.I. Joe? Yeah, I know that. Somehow. And Van Helsing.
Ooh.
And Deep Rising.
Van Helsing had such wonderful Shakespearean dialogue.
The one about the giant squid attacking the...
I'm just talking about the wonderful Shakespearean dialogue in Van Helsing. Like, you should die, but I want to live.
Okay.
All right. That is the S Words Shakespeare episode. We're sorry to everybody for
somehow
really
ended
the
on a Van Helsing quote.
We're sorry to everybody in general. It's not my fault. I swear. Actually, it's my fault. Anyway,
I'd like to give my shout out to Van Helsing.
You can find
terrible
us
movie.
On You can find us online at s-words-podcast.com.
/Van Helsing.
You can give us feedback on how terrible our Shakespeare episode was. It'll mostly be me under aliases going, oh, you guys don't know Shakespeare, you suck.
Ooh, our next email from Dominita. Or not Dom.
The anti-Dom.
He might actually email us in now.
Yeah.
Like, Dom, what are you doing? Great show.
Anyway, yeah, you can send us email about how our show is doing, or send us suggestions at feedback.
Don't send
at,
about how the show is doing.
Feedback at s-words-podcast.com. And you can find us on Twitter. Where can you find us again?
Twitter.com/Van Helsing.
Yes. /Jason Statham and Jet Li.
We were never in a movie together.
And never, ever.
I think it's also twitter.com/s_words.
Jason Statham as Iago. Jet Li as
Iago 2.
Iago 2.
Ghost Iago.
I put a bomb in your Iago, Othello.
How does it make sense if Iago can talk to his own ghost?
I don't know. Jason Statham and Jet Li will somehow make it work.
The rollerblader should be based on Othello.
Othello, yes.
A good idea. We don't have to think of a real story then.
We don't have to think of a story at all. Exactly. It's just Othello.
Movies with the have stories again?
Shakespeare.
Hello and welcome to the S-Words podcast. Today's S-Word is Shakespeare. I did that wrong.
We're a roundtable discussion about pop culture subjects beginning with the letter S.
Okay.
Your count, you.
Hold on. Damn it, now I know what the
No, just do it this way. Now we have the bloopers. Like, hello! And welcome!
No, okay, let's
do
it
now. To the S-Words.
Let's get ready to podcast!
A roundtable discussion of pop culture subjects beginning with the word S.
The word S.